I'm reading this, and it's an exciting story, but I read it, and I thought, I know Jesus was never married. Guy never had a wife. No, he was never married, because no wife would buy this story in 100 years. The disciples will, the believers will. No wife would buy this fucking story. Good luck. Good luck with this story. First of all, he leaves on Friday afternoon with 12 other guys. He's gone for 3 days. No message, no way to get in touch with her. He comes home Monday afternoon looking like he hasn't slept. And he looks like he's partied out, man. And Mrs. Jesus is just waiting, going, oh, okay, I guess it's day three of the show. Great. Well, I'm glad you can find your way home, Savior. Where's your 12 friends who won't get a job? How are they? Yeah, disciples, my ass. They're losers. Every one of them are using them. You're not even smart enough to know it. Anybody says, I believe, we put them up and feed them. I'm saying it. Where are you at? Jesus is going, I don't need this shit. Not after what I went through this weekend. No, honey, I'll tell you where I've been. Come here. Come here. Come here. I'll tell you where I've been. First of all, not that it ruined your weekend any, but I was dead! Do you understand that, you fucking bitch? I was dead! While you were sitting here on your ass, I'm in a grave, outside of town, I'm fighting death, hell, decomposure, I'm about to come into spiritual form and go into the kingdom of God. I go, wait a second, I better go back because she doesn't know where I've been. So now I gotta fight the angel of death, get my fucking soul back, crawl out of a grave, come home to this shit, because I missed you, honey!
Welcome to the Nerds Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Gendrich, alongside Brandon Valentine.
Hello, hello.
I feel like we've played that one before.
Probably, but I love Kinnison.
But I saw a clip of Kinnison a couple days ago, and I was like, oh, that's what we're opening with, is Sam. And it's time to get ready. I mean, oddly enough, is that not 100% true?
Oh, like, it is 100% true.
Like, if fucking Jesus had a wife, how that would have went?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Anyone who's been married, they know, yes, that's exactly how that would go.
Yeah. Sam is fucking just a classic, one of the best to have ever done it.
I've always loved Sam. I mean, you know that. You know he's one of my idols. I mean, one of the ones that I've always loved. And I've always wanted to be more like him, but I can't.
No.
It's
not an imitatable.
It's not. He had a very special, very interesting style that was different than pretty much anybody. I think that's why he,
in his life, his previous,
oh yeah,
before comedian life of being a minister or
an evangelist, and,
yeah,
you know, I mean, he was, that's the kind of, like, what he did when he preached was just that loud, because that's what evangelists do. So I mean, he brought that into his comedy, and yeah, that's just not something that I think can be copied.
No, it can't be imitated. Some of the jokes can, other people can have the same ideas, right? But your delivery of them, I mean, that was 90% of Sam.
And a lot of that is with a lot of comedians. I mean, that's one thing. And now that we've both done comedy for a while, you see that more.
But there's some that, I guess, I don't want to call them generic, but there's some where a good portion of your comics have a similar delivery.
Yes.
Right? The core. There's that middle ground. And then you have the lower end of the tier that just stumble over everything and no rhythmic timing of any sort whatsoever. No. And then you have the unicorns.
Yeah, that they have the material with the personality.
Yeah.
You know, and that was Kinnison. Kinnison, Carlin, which two completely different deliveries, but both of them worked really well with their writing.
Dice Clay, yes. Completely different delivery.
Completely, like, different.
A lot of those 80 comics, as comedy opened up from your Merv Griffins, your Dean Martins, mm-hmm, your really kind of clean stuff, late 70s, you know, early 80s, and it got filthy, the delivery was quote-unquote filthy.
Yes.
You had guys that delivered in that middle ground. I would say Pryor delivered in that middle ground.
He did. He was filthy, but he swore a lot. But he was filthy, but his delivery was that middle.
Yeah. But the beauty with Pryor was, again, they were all truthful stories.
Yeah,
that he
and
just,
I mean, in some of them, you're like, he's up there talking about lighting himself on fire and just crack it up.
Yeah,
like,
I don't even know if he I'm not even sure he exaggerated.
No, I don't think so.
Story.
I think that was, get arrested for shooting his freaking wife's car so she couldn't leave.
You know, normally people who tell, that don't just tell jokes, but tell story, they all have that 10% exaggeration to their story. I'm not sure Pryor did.
I don't think so.
And Carlin, both being raised Catholic, and, you know, he did a lot of talk on religion and, you know, bullshit, but he lived that life to be able to do so. So, again, 100% believable.
Mm-hmm.
Kinison, same way. Dice Clay was a joke teller. Yeah. None of his stories even sounded true.
No.
But he turned a joke into a 10-minute story instead of a one-line joke.
Yes. Which, I mean, he was great at it. I mean, it was a great character that he did there. And then, a lot of people don't realize it. That really was a character.
Mitch's jokes were, I would say, in the middle, but what made Mitch Hedberg so great was his delivery,
mm-hmm.
right?
Well, there's a lot like that, because there's like Dennis Leary. Mm. Used to love him. And then, honestly, once I became a comedian, I started paying more attention, and I'm like, he's all delivery. There's really, you pull out the delivery with him, there's very little joke.
No, there's, but again, 100% true.
Yeah, but that delivery is what just nails you.
There's very little joke in Carlin. Go listen.
Yeah, oh, I know. There's very little joke in Carlin. But that's the thing. I mean, Dennis Leary, like I said, if you took away his delivery, it all goes away.
You took away if you took away Carlin's delivery, he would be a motivational speaker or maybe not motivational, but a public speaker at a college, you know, rant and raving about the government or at, you know, not parades, but rallies against abortion or, you know, things like that. Like, there wasn't a lot of joke to him either.
No, but it was that delivery. And that's one of the things that I love. And that's I think doing comedy, you start to see that, where it's like, without his delivery, Dennis Leary, Carlin, they wouldn't have a career. But they were able to make that deliver that stuff in a way that made it.
Yeah. Murphy was another one who was, I think Murphy was all more joke, though.
His was a lot more joke.
Murphy had the impressions and, you know, and again came up in that filthy era where that's what people wanted. I'm not a big fan.
I'll be honest. A lot of times I love his movies.
Yeah, actor.
As an actor, I love him. As a stand-up, I've never been. I mean, they're kind of funny.
Raw was pretty good. Delirious, good. I didn't care for as much.
Yeah. I mean, he was a great comedic actor, but I mean, as a stand-up, he's not one of my. He's probably not even in my top 10.
Oh, I don't have him in mind, I don't think.
Yeah, I would say he's probably not even in my top 10.
I don't know if I've ever gone 10. But
as a comedic actor.
God, now you got me thinking if I can go 10.
No, I'm actually thinking the same thing. Can I go 10? But there's some of those. Because, I mean,
now we got to go fucking 10. Hold on here. Slow the fuck down. Right? We've always said our Mount Rushmore comics, which is 4.
Yeah.
And we've always had that, okay, 5. But we've never gone 10.
No.
So, I mean, of course, we'll just go agreed on. Kinison, Carlin, Pryor.
Oh, yeah.
I put Mitch on there.
Yeah.
Hedberg. I will always put Dice Man on there, period. He's not everybody's cup of tea.
Everyone's cup of tea, but he was, for what he did, he was good.
He was my first introduction into being old enough to understand comedy. But I was that impressionable 9-10 dick jokes are fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
I mean, I still think dick jokes are funny.
Yeah, so do I. Dick and fart jokes are.
But at 9-10, you have Kinison talking religion did nothing for me. At 9-10, I hadn't even stepped foot in a fucking church.
Oh, I had. So religion to me was hilarious.
But it meant nothing to me. Right? And I know they had their huge battle in the mid to late 80s. Like, they fucking hated each other.
Yeah.
And that was the big competition. Are you a Kinison? Are you a Dice Man, and then The Dice Man Cometh on HBO came out, and we had the black box, and that's when he broke out the fucking nursery rhymes, and
yeah,
I was like a 10-year-old, just fucking elated.
And I was a Kinnison. I was definitely, but I mean, I also like Clay, but I mean, I was definitely a Kinnison.
Yeah.
I think one of my favorite jokes of all time, because I, like I said, I grew up with legends, like, hey, Jesus, you remember this sound? And I'm like, oh.
But see, it's no different than when you put it in the sports world.
Yeah.
When you go, you ask somebody our age that grew up here who your favorite football player is, and a lot of people are going to say fucking Largent.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But now you compare numbers, and Largent, he did hold records, but he's nowhere near them anymore. I mean, there's fucking nobodies that have broken his records. But because we grew up here, where you may go ask somebody the same age from New York and go, who the fuck is... And you're like, but he was the original. That's who we saw on TV every Sunday.
You're like, who the fuck is Steve Largent?
You know, same with you and Buhner, right?
Yeah.
You go ask anybody outside of the state, and they're going to laugh, like...
Buhner? Really?
Yeah, 250 hitter? Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
But it was one of those things. That's who I grew up with. That's who I grew up watching, and I loved it. I love Bone.
And so that's why I love... Dice Man will always be up there for me.
So that's five.
We have five.
I mean, you got to throw Robin Williams in. And I know there's the arguments that people throw in there, like, he stole... But
all delivery again, though.
Look at all of his delivery. I mean, especially if you go back, if you can find him, and I've wanted to find him, his, like, he did one in a theater in, like, the early 80s where he is so fucking high on cocaine, you wouldn't believe it. And he starts climbing the wall, and, like, he's still talking and doing his bits while he's, like, walking along, basically like Pearl Jam did, where he's walking along the edge of the balcony. And then suddenly just looks out in the crowd and goes, oh, look, a black guy. And it's just like, now, everyone loses it. And I mean,
I will put Rob. I have no problem putting Robin up there. Steve Martin.
Yeah,
I love, like, Wild and Crazy Guy is fucking phenomenal. It's one of the first vinyls I ever got. Yeah.
Steve Martin, you got to put in there. I mean, Steve Martin's one of the ones, a great comedic actor. But if you actually go back and watch his like comedy,
His comedy is just, it really is fucking bizarre.
It is, where but you can't stop laughing.
I shouldn't say, and not bizarre because of the bits he does or whatever. It's bizarre because it's not stereotypical stand-up.
No.
It's not him just standing there telling a story, telling a joke. It's him just fucking being a wild and crazy guy.
Yeah.
You know, fucking bouncing all over, playing an instrument, putting on his fucking ears, whatever. Like, he was just fucking nuts.
He was, which is what made him a great. I mean, if you don't have Martin in there, it's, and I'm almost, you know, wondering how we got all the way to seven without getting to him, but.
I don't put Steve in the Mount Rushmore.
No, but he's just on the outside of it.
I mean, to me, the Mount Rushmore is Carlin, Pryor, Kinnison, Dice, and Dice is just because he will always be there.
Yeah. And see, for me, it would actually, I would replace him with Williams.
With Robin, yeah.
Yeah. But Dice would be right there. It's like I wouldn't take him completely. It'd be like I just put Williams.
Chisel
right
another one on that mountain.
Yeah, it'd be basically chisel another one on that mountain. Because, yeah. I mean, yeah, it's.
Trump that mountain up.
Yeah.
So, okay, we got seven.
See, and that's where it starts. Because I keep trying to think. I'm like Chevy Chase, but I've never really seen his stand up. I've always just seen him as a comedic actor.
Yeah, I don't.
Dan Aykroyd, comedic actor.
No, but you got to start thinking. I know you're a huge Joe Coy fan.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not, but I know you are. I am a huge, like, Tom Segura fan.
Right now, Rob Riggle's one of my favorites.
Does Rob do, like, pure stand-up?
But I don't know. That's the thing. That's what I'm trying to think of. I'm like, and that's where
I think Rob Riggle's funny as shit, but I've never seen a stand-up special or anything like that.
I know
that.
He does, but I've never seen it. So.
Yeah, you have Patrice O'Neill.
Oh, he was good.
You can get into the women, and I love Lisa Lampanelli.
See, I never have because it's one of those ones, and it really, I know it sounds bad to say this, I've never been a big fan of the women that just go dirty to be dirty. But Lisa Lampanelli is good in the fact that she wasn't always just dirty. She was to a point, but, I mean, she wasn't always.
I mean, this not being able to figure this out is putting a case for Murphy on there.
Yeah. But it's one of those that, you know, with Lisa Lampanelli is she, her comedic timing when she was on the roast, everything else puts her up there for me. Cause I mean, her stand up, like I said, wasn't bad.
Now, can we put a Stephen Lynch in the top 10? Is that considered stand up? Or is that a concert?
See, and that's where
now, see, he started before he got big enough to sell out his own theaters. He started on regular stages.
Yeah.
You know, like I would put him in a different category than, say, Bo Burnham, who got famous from YouTube and instantly was selling out stadiums. Now, I'm not saying I know for a fact he's honed his craft somewhat on regular open mic type stages, but that's not how he started. Where Stephen Lynch started on that open mic. I mean, the Jim Henson's Dead song came out in like 1998 at Live at Gotham, or at the Gotham Comedy Club. He wasn't on Live at Gotham. He wasn't good enough yet, but the Gotham Comedy Club in New York, you know, at a, like an open mic or a showcase.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure. I mean, he's one that I would definitely say is he should be in there.
Okay.
I mean, so that puts us at eight. I mean, and then you got to think of some of the other ones. I mean, but some of the others, it's really hard. I mean,
Kevin Hart. Oh, fuck. We have fucked up. We have fucked up. We are eight, and we have not said Dave Chappelle.
Yeah. But, okay. Don't hate me for saying this. Dave Chappelle, before he went off the rails? Yes. I have not liked anything he's done since he came back.
So when he did that two-part special, I thought one was fantastic. And the other one, I felt like he did what I did the first night at fucking Uncle Moe's.
Where you
should where
have, like,
I
stopped.
Had 15 minutes of material and I went 1 hour 55 because I thought that's what I had to do. Yeah.
And you should have stopped at 15.
Yeah. Maybe 20. Maybe I could have got away with the 5 minutes of bullshitting, but...
And I just feel like, I mean, it's one of those things which, I mean... And Chappelle, yes, he should be on this list. But it was one of those things. My biggest issue was once he came back, he seemed more political and less funny.
Yeah, I still think he was funny.
He was a lot political when he was before, even on the Chappelle show. I mean, him as the freaking white dude.
but that's a skit, right? We're not talking skit comedy.
No.
We are talking, you know, stand-up. And Chappelle's also got the legendary status, right? Of just the things he's done in comedy. And he's a guy who's never broke from going to clubs.
No.
Never broke from finding any way that he can get his own show.
Yeah.
I mean, quarantine last year where he set up in his own fucking pasture and had people sit on hay bales so he could do a set.
Which, I mean, yeah, Chappelle, like I said, definitely belongs on this list.
And then the legendary where he shows up at 1 o'clock in the morning at the L.A. Comedy Store and keeps people there till 6 and goes 4 hours.
Yeah. Yeah, so, I mean, he definitely belongs on the list. I'm just, it's one of those that, you know, sometimes you see those with comedians. And like I said, nothing against, I mean, I love Chappelle, but it seemed he came back different. So.
Maybe you didn't adapt.
And maybe that's very true. Maybe I didn't adapt.
Chappelle needs to be up there.
He does. Chappelle needs to be up there. So that puts us at 9. So.
Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart is another one that... Comedic actor, yes, but I haven't seen enough of his stand-up to really...
Okay, I'm going
to
throw this
one... I haven't seen
one...
enough of his stand-up to put him above Murphy.
This one could get people to cringe and probably hate me because I fucking love him. Fucking love him. But... Dane Cook.
No, I'm out. No.
Vicious Circle to me is one of the best fucking comedy specials or whatever you want to call it. I fucking love Vicious Circle.
Always. Is that the one where you had the stage just in the middle of everything?
Yep.
Yeah.
Fucking loved Vicious Circle.
I don't know what it is about him. He just, he's never, once again, comedic actor. Okay, I get it. But his stand-up just does not hit with me.
Oh, I love it. It's a lot of dick and fart jokes. I love it. You have Christina Pazinski.
I'm sure that is.
Okay. She does the podcast. She's Tom Segura's wife. She was on, what was it, the Marlon Wayans, whatever that comedy competition show was. There may have only been one season.
See, and it's one of those for me, one of the other ones that I would put, I don't know if I'd even put him, it's still, he's a good comic, but I don't think it would be Ron White.
So that was where I was going next.
Which I love him, but I don't, it's a top 10, I don't know.
We can throw out Engvall.
Oh, yeah.
We can throw out Larry.
Yeah. They were one hit, and that's what, like I said, the first time I ever saw like the Blue Collar Comedy Tour, the one I didn't like was Ron White. And now, you know, 15 years later, the one I do like is Ron White, and the other ones I'm like, yeah, I'll pass.
I love Ron White. I love my problem was my professional. I love fucking...
My first introduction to him was at the Mercer Arena, and he was so drunk he could barely stand up.
Yeah.
So it didn't hit. I mean, he wasn't doing good. I mean, the whole crowd was sitting there looking at him like, huh? Because you could barely understand him. He was so fucked.
Yeah.
But then I saw a special later, and I'm like, that guy's funny. A lot funnier than the other three. I saw him the second time.
And then you have Foxworthy.
I still think, honestly, Foxworthy, like Engvall, is a one-hit wonder.
But unlike Engvall, Foxworthy...
He rode that one hit for a long time.
But that one hit was able to go a long time.
Yeah.
Because it was fucking funny.
It was.
And why was it funny? Because it was 100% true.
Yeah.
If a black guy came out with "You might be a brother if" and hit every stereotype that everybody in the world thinks.
Yeah.
Right? Just like every stereotype for a redneck was hit by Foxworthy.
Yeah.
There's not a one of them that he has not said in...
I mean, even the 12 Days of Christmas.
In the 30 years that he's been doing that joke. That when it gets said, you go, oh, yeah, they do fuck their sister.
Yeah.
You know?
And like I said, the 12 Days of Christmas is still a Christmas-like staple.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, maybe he would. I mean, it's one of those that it's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I almost think, right, because when you're talking the 10 best comics, you're not necessarily talking, quote-unquote, the funniest. Right,
it's best what they do. Yeah, it's which ones are this they, have is the guy staying power.
Staying power he had.
Yep.
Now, true, he's marketed to a certain group of people,
but he is. But there was everybody that thought it was funny.
Yes, yes, but go to his shows and it's one type of person.
Oh yeah. They all look
when
a lot
you
like
watch
us.
Pryor's like on Sunset Boulevard and some of his specials, it's a mix, half and half crowd.
Yeah.
It's a for everybody fucking situation, right?
Yeah, because Pryor was just funny. It didn't matter.
Chappelle, anything. Same way. It's a fucking everybody situation. Jeff Foxworthy, the lights are off and the room is bright as shit.
Yes, because it's a lot of white people.
People
are not very tan at a Foxworthy show.
So, with that, you know.
And that's what it is. I think it comes down to, because my biggest thing is, like I said, it's hard for me sometimes to distinguish comedic actor versus comedian. Because you see some of them and you forget, like Steve Martin, you forget that he is an amazing stand-up because he's done so much good comedic acting work. Same thing with Robin Williams. Most people don't even, a lot of people don't even realize Robin Williams is a stand-up, you know, or was a stand-up. You know, so there's a lot of those. And there's the other ones I was trying to think of, like, you know, some of the, you know, Chevy Chase. I've never seen a stand-up.
What about Lewis Black?
Oh, how did we miss him? There's another one. Lewis Black, because he's just... He's another one that's very political.
Lewis Black is the unicorn, right? Yeah. Delivery, the screaming. And he may have been a guy who mimicked to an extent Kinison and was able to pull it off.
Because he did it in a different way, because he went more political, where Kinison went more
well, and he
religious.
Went, he, well, not only that, but fucking Lewis Black legitimately sounds angry.
Yeah.
Kinison sounds like he's just screaming to scream, and it works. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not bashing it. It works. But he sounds like he's screaming to scream to get the reaction he wants.
Oh, yeah. Lewis
Black
sounds angry.
Sounds like whatever he just said, pissed him right the fuck off, and he's going to punch somebody in the mouth.
Yeah.
Like,
see, now that's one of those things, like you said, you didn't know if we get to 10, now we're almost, we're getting...
Well, we didn't necessarily add any of those guys. I'm just throwing...
Well, we didn't, but we're just saying, now we've got a hole. We could almost get up to, like, 15 if we wanted to, but, I mean, it's just kind of, you know... And I think we didn't go deep into the female, because there are some good female comedians, but it's just... Well,
we didn't say Joan.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right? I love Nikki Glaser.
Yeah.
Right? And you got to think, outside of Joan, right, a lot of them are new and haven't... Not new, but newish.
Yeah, because it was really tough for female comedians for a long time.
They got shit on for a long... There wasn't female comedy specials.
Wanda Sykes?
Wanda's good.
Yeah, because I just looked them up, and I'm looking at most of them going, I don't know who half these people are, but...
You know. Yeah, there's some good ones out there that are building their career.
See, and then there's like Whoopi Goldberg. You forget that she was actually a stand-up.
Yeah, I remember seeing her on that old NBC...
Lucille Ball is considered, but she was more a comedic actress. I don't know her ever actually doing stand-up.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, Margaret Cho.
Yeah, Margaret Cho's good.
I mean, you got some of them rising right now. Awkwafina, who's one that's really rising and doing good. So.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some. Joan probably deserves to be up there.
Oh, yeah.
And if not for anything, just the legacy, right? Of knocking down the original door.
Carol Burnett.
See, and I don't remember Carol's stand-up.
I don't. Yeah,
a lot of skit comedy.
Very good at skit comedy, but yeah, she's a lot more like Lucille with the
Carol Burnett is fucking hilarious. And who's the lady that played Mama that I think came from the Carol Burnett show? Vicki Lawrence.
Yeah.
Is fucking hilarious. There are amazingly funny women out there.
Phyllis Diller?
Yeah. I'm not a fan of Phyllis Diller.
I'm not either, but come on, dude. You gotta
However,
admit, like Joan, she knocked down some doors.
Back in the day when you saw different interviews or different late night shows she was on or even some of the sketch stuff, you go back and you watch the old Dean Martin roast.
Yeah.
And she was funny. But some of the skits, like, I wasn't a fan.
No, I mean, she was one of those ones. I have seen some of those when she was doing the roast and stuff like that. When she was just talking... Oh, damn. It was kind of like, what's her name in the Saget roast that basically talked about she was going to fuck Uncle Jesse.
Oh, fuck me. From Young Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Cloris Leachman.
Yeah. So, I mean, she's another one that, I mean, you know, that once you don't think of them as stand-ups until all of a sudden they get up and they start doing something and you're like, oh, shit, they're funny as hell.
Yeah.
You know, and Phyllis Diller was that way. She didn't, a lot of her, like, skit stuff I didn't get, but.
But see, you gotta.
But her and Joan Rivers were both two that knocked down a lot of gender norms.
Yeah, and how I think of it, though, right, whether they're funny or not, especially when you come to the sketch type stuff, you look at Vicki Lawrence, who wrote.
Yeah.
All that shit or so. Like, she didn't have male writers in the back room and tried acting. Like, she wrote that for her and fucking parlayed. That Mama and the different times that she's... Not only Mama's Family, the show, which was pretty fucking funny, but just the different skits she would come out on as Mama on the Carol Burnett show.
Yeah.
You know, or different late night talk shows. She almost became Pee Wee Herman.
Yeah.
Where nobody knew Pee-wee Herman was fucking Paul Reubens. It was just Pee-wee Herman.
Yeah, if you say Paul Reubens, people look at you like, who the fuck is Paul Reubens? You're like, Pee-wee Herman.
Vicki Lawrence did a lot of that where she was just Mama. She just came out as Mama. You know. So.
She was a pop singer, too.
Vicki Lawrence?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, she was a... What's the female version of Jack? A Jill of all trades?
Yeah, Jill of all trades, I guess.
You know? Yeah, no, I love Vicki Lawrence.
Yeah. And there's a lot of those. And like I said, though, it's sometimes hard to break apart from those ones that, like, they're great comedic actors, but not great stand-up. I've seen a couple of them where it's like, you know.
But when you're picking a top 10 in a legendary status, right? So some of those we may have to take off. To be honest, right? Mitch Hedberg, funny as shit, excellent writer.
Yeah.
Quirky delivery that made those weird one-liners that may not even be funny if you or I said them.
But the way he said them, yeah.
You know, but what legacy did he leave behind, per se?
The sunglasses, that's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
he was funny, but yeah, you're right. I mean, there's not a whole legacy that he really left behind, but I mean, you look at some of those other ones, like Robin Williams, he left behind a huge legacy. I mean, we all have some movie.
But in the stand-up world, we're talking stand-up. You got to separate them.
And that's, like I said, that's the hard part, is separating the stand-up from, you know, because most of the ones that we're talking about that have those huge legacies, those legacies a lot of times don't fall into the comedic side. It falls more into the movie side.
Yeah. It would be like putting Jim Carrey up there.
Yeah.
And Jim Carrey was a stand-up for years before he got, I think he did one movie while being a stand-up, that Once Bitten.
Yeah, which is hilarious.
Yeah. And then was back to stand-up until he got, like, in Living Color.
Yeah.
Oh, he also did Rubber Face, I think, it like that really, really B-film.
Oh, yeah. That was really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of those where it's just like, you know, but I mean, like Robin Williams, people forget he did stand-up, but his stand-up isn't what people remember, you know, and that's the same thing like Eddie Murphy. Most people might remember Raw, but they're going to remember his movies more than they're going to remember his stand-up.
It depends on who you talk to. I think people our age...
Our age, yes.
Will remember, right? The people younger than us didn't get to see unless they go back and study the history, but they didn't get to see any of them.
No.
They didn't get to see Pryor. If they see Pryor, it's on a rerun on TNT of Running Scared. That wasn't even Pryor. I'm sorry. Fucking Hear No Evil, See No Evil. Running Scared was Robert Townsend, right?
No, it was the tap dancer guy. Wasn't it?
Isn't that Robert Townsend?
No.
Meteor Man. Greg Town.
It's... God, who is Running Scared? Wow, that's not even the right Running Scared movie. That's a 2006 movie. 1986. There we go. Not 2006, 1986. Running Scared is Gregory Hines.
Gregory Hines, okay.
Who was a famous tap dancer, too.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is interesting. A lot of people don't realize that Gregory Hines was actually a tap dancer before he became a... Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I said the wrong thing. But, you know, you're going to get Pryor in, like, Hear No Evil, See No Evil... why am I the toy or?
Yeah, he was the toy.
Okay, get the him and the Robin Williams one mixed up.
He was the toy where he was basically they bought him.
Okay, yeah.
So he could be, you know, the kid's toy, basically. The kid wanted him as a toy.
But that's how a lot of younger people.
Brewster's Millions, all that stuff.
Unless they go back and study. Right, you're not flipping through the channels and seeing Live on the Sunset Strip,
no.
Where he opened for Gladys Knight and the fucking Pips.
No, I mean, but that's the thing. It's one of those. I guess that's the hard part with a lot of these comedians is you're not going to remember.
Carlin, you're not. Chances are these millennials have only seen him in Jane Silent Bob movies that they went back and rewatched because of.
The new ones.
The newer ones.
Yeah. Which is true. I mean, that's one of those things that you get. Like, you know, a lot of people aren't going to think about, you know, where these guys came from.
So.
I mean, a lot of people don't know Howie Mandel supposedly was a stand-up at one point.
God.
That was one of the things. Yeah. Benton the other day, we were watching freaking, you know.
America's Got Talent.
America's Got Talent. And he said something. He's like, was Howie actually a comedian? And I'm like, supposedly, we can go watch one of his old videos. He was actually kind of funny, but...
Yeah, he was really good in Bobby's World.
Yeah. But, I mean, yeah, he's another one that once he stopped doing the drugs, it just didn't help.
No, he went fucking crazy. So...
Go back to snorting coke, Howie. And I hate him on America's Got Talent because he's got the worst taste.
Yeah. I agree. 100% agree. All right. Brennan informed me... Because I haven't had a chance to look at my phone today, but today is a big friend of the show, Danny Petruska's birthday, and we wanted to wish him a happy birthday. But with that, and the hope that he still listens to the show, because to be honest, I haven't got a message from him in a while about the show. But
bastard,
I want to play this, and I'm curious what his thoughts are and yours as well. Let's make sure I don't have any commercials starting out, and I don't. Good. Here we go. Who was that?
No idea.
So that's a band called Vended. And the lead singer is Griffin Taylor. Griffin Taylor is the son of Corey Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
The apple did not fall far from the tree.
No.
To me, that 100% sounded like Slipknot.
It did.
Danny's a huge fan of Slipknot. I'm curious his take on this. Now, what's your take? Is it okay to sound so much like Slipknot?
I don't know. It's kind of one of those things. It's hard to say because, I mean, him being the son, I mean, it's like you said, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. But you would think that he'd want to get away from his dad's shadow, or unless he's trying to use his dad's shadow to further his career.
Now, I know nothing about Vended. I'll be honest. I don't know how new they are. I'm trying to look here. Let's look it up here real quick. Pulverizing debut single. Okay, so that's their debut single. Okay, so with that information now, I personally think it's awesome. Right?
Oh, I like it. Yeah, I think it's good.
Now, I would expect some growth. Whether you even keep the same tone-ish, but elaborate on it in your next album or something.
Well, I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, with any band, you see any band, you go listen to their first album, listen to their fourth album. There's either some growth or they're not doing anything.
I'd like to tell you about a band that's never grown. Their name is AC/DC.
No, they haven't grown, but
They have Jeff Foxworthy, to go back to the last point, the shit out of that band.
They have, but it's working.
Yeah,
but,
fuck yeah,
but
it is.
Most bands you'll see grow, but then you get the things that a lot of times once they change. I mean, look at Metallica, for instance. Metallica, if you listen to Metallica's newest album compared to their first album, it's two completely different bands.
Now, is that growth or is that age?
I think in a lot of ways it's a little both. Because, I mean, a lot of people are like, oh, they sold out. No, I think they just got older. I mean, it's like, as you think about it, when you get older, sometimes your music choices change. You know?
Yeah. I'll get into Metallica here in a second. But, yeah, that I thought was fucking... I heard that this morning. And just, I fucking lost my mind. Because I think it's so cool.
It is good.
Right? Think if Zelda Williams, Robin's daughter, came out and basically verbatimed his golf bit right? You would fucking love it. Now, if in her second tour as a stand-up, she did the same fucking thing, maybe not. Yeah. Like, you know. But that honor of, dude, my dad's fucking Corey Taylor. Check this out. Not only that, but Corey Taylor's still a relevant fucking name.
Yeah.
Where, you know, you can use that to get into the field, into the industry, yeah. into the...
Because you usually see two things. You either see actors or musicians or whatever either try and ride their parents' coattails, or they want nothing to do with them. Like, I'm going to make it on my own without people knowing who I am, you know?
Now, regardless of riding the coat, I mean, the voice, right? It can sound like Corey Taylor all at once. It's not like sounding like my fucking voice, no. where it's not a whole lot of talent. Like, Corey Taylor's got an amazing fucking voice, and if you can do fucking Corey Taylor, do yeah. fucking Corey Taylor. Like,
which Corey Taylor has an amazing voice, whether he's doing that kind of music or he's doing...
Like Stone Sour.
Stone Sour. I mean, he's got an amazing voice.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, when Stone Sour came out, I was like, that's the same gravelly fucking wait and bleed, fucking kick you in the mouth, you know. No way. Like,
yeah, yeah. It's always interesting to see that, because there's a lot of times you see, like, because a lot of people don't know, with like musicians, like Power Man 5000, you know who they are, right?
Yeah.
You know, the lead singer is Rob Zombie's brother.
Yeah.
And a lot of people didn't know that for a long time, and he did everything he could to make sure people didn't know it.
I knew it in 98 when I saw him.
Yeah.
You know.
But a lot of people didn't. I mean, you had to really research him, man. A lot of people didn't know it. So it was kind of one of those that he's like, I don't want people to know that I'm Rob Zombie. He's like, I want to make it on my own.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, and also, so Simon Crahan is the son of the clown from Slipknot, and he's the drummer of Vended. So now you got two Slipknot youth,
mm-hmm.
I guess. Offspring, makes sense, right? I fucking loved it. Like,
yeah,
that got me as pumped this morning hearing it for the first time as I got as pumped hearing Wait and Bleed for the first time.
Yeah, it was good. It's good. So hopefully Danny loves it, which, you
that,
know, happy birthday, Danny.
I'm really curious on Danny's take on it, because I know Danny is a huge fucking Slipknot fan. Huge Slipknot fan. And, you know... And so I'm really curious what he thinks about Vended being the offspring of Slipknot, but sounding, I mean, chances are I could probably play that for
if you
10 casual fans.
If you would have told me that was Slipknot, I would have probably thought, I would agree. I would have been, I would not have doubted it.
You know, and 10 casual fans, and they would have been, oh, that Slipknot got a new song out? You know, so I really dug it. Now, on the Metallica thing. Recently on Howard Stern, I don't know if you saw any of this, but they had Elton John on with Metallica and fucking Miley Cyrus.
Well, that's an interesting mix.
And Miley is, she's the number one song on iTunes right now, doing Nothing Else Matters with Metallica.
That'd be an interesting one. I might have to find that one.
And Elton John on piano. And on the Stern Show, Elton John talked about how much he loves that song from Metallica and how it's one of the most masterful written songs he's ever, you know, and that when they called him and asked him to play piano on this fucking song, that he was...
But Miley singing it?
Yeah.
She's one that, I mean, I'll be honest, as she's getting older, I'm really not disliking her.
I agree. I think she's really proven her
that
musicality,
can,
maybe?
Yeah.
However you want to phrase that.
Her music chops or whatever, that she can hold her
that
own.
That she's a musical artist. She's
yeah,
not
she's a musical artist. She's
another
not,
Disney teeny bopper yeah. that came up.
And I think a lot of it, too, is she went off the rails, like, right out, because it's one of those things that everyone's like, oh, it's Hannah Montana. And she's like, fuck you, bitches. I'm not Hannah Montana. I'm Miley Cyrus. And that's, I think, one of the things where she kind of went.
She's still a little crazy.
She is a little crazy, but I think, you know, she in a way, she almost had to.
I think, honestly, if I would compare her to somebody today, I think I would compare her to Joan Jett.
Yeah.
Where when you heard the Runaways and Cherry Bomb, it was basically the punk rock version of Girl Teeny Bopper.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't anything special, fancy, you know. It was some pissed off teenage girls. And then Joan Jett broke out and showed that, wait a second, I can play this fucking guitar. I can write music. I can do this fucking shit. And I'm still going to look at you and say, fuck you.
Yeah.
Like, she just turned 63 yesterday. And she's still looking at you going, fuck you.
Yeah.
Like,
and that's kind of, you know, Miley, I mean, she didn't. I mean, it's one of those, I'll be honest. I when she first, I'm like, fuck, it's just Hannah Montana. But then as she's grown as an artist, I'm like, I don't dislike her music.
And she has some pop stuff, right?
She does.
But I think the turnaround for me was hearing her do Jolene.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, kid, pop is a lot of autotune. It's a lot of, anybody can kind of sing pop. That Jolene is something fucking else.
Yeah.
Like, just vocal range wise and every, and
it showed that she could sing.
Yeah.
And that is when she does Jolene, you're like, oh, yeah.
So here's a.
And Wrecking Ball, I'll be honest, Wrecking Ball's not that bad of a song.
It's catchy.
It is.
So this is the whole interview. I'm trying to find it. Here we go. Out there. I still can't get over Hetfield, man. He just looks so dad. Actually, he's starting to look like he should be wearing an Affliction t-shirt and fucking bedazzled jeans.
Oh, God.
So close, no matter how far. Much more from the heart. Forever trusting who we are. No, nothing else matters. Never open myself this way. Life is ours, we live it always. In all the world, and nothing else matters.
We're gonna fast forward a little bit.
I have goosebumps.
Yeah.
Never care for what they do. Never care for what they know.
Yeah. It's.
Yeah.
It's. I get why it's number one on the iTunes download chart, right? It's fucking unreal.
Yeah, I mean, Matt can tell. Like, all of a sudden, like, once it started playing, you could see me, like, rub it. I immediately got goosebumps. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
It's that gravelly voice. I mean, you comparing her to Joan Jett, the second she started singing, I'm like, bam, you just nailed it.
Yeah.
Because it's that gravelly, like.
And then can turn right into harmonies. Like, like it's nothing.
Yeah, it's that gravelly voice that she starts with, and then all of a sudden she's harmonizing, and that was Hetfield singing with her, right?
Yeah.
When she harmonizes with him, it's like right there, and it's like, how do you go from that gravelly, like, sultry voice that should not be coming out of Hannah Montana to, you know, that, yeah. I mean, she shows she's got the chops.
It's no different, like in the Jolene, right?
Yeah.
She goes right from, I mean, the biggest country bumpkin, twangy, almost yodel in the Jolene, to just smooth melody, just, you know.
Yeah, that's another one that gives you goosebumps. I mean, it really shows that it's really, you know.
Well, you almost feel the emotion, right?
There was one of the things, yeah, you do. There was something, it was something I was listening
I'm gonna
to.
I'm going to compare it real quick about feeling the emotion. You're going to hate me.
Oh.
It's same thing fucking Kurt did. Right? Everybody had that 90s emotion. Uh-huh. Kurt wasn't necessarily amazing when people nowadays look back, but when you lived that as that angsty fucking kid, his voice reached you with the emotion.
Yeah. And that is true. I mean, it's one of the, like I said, they're not one of my favorite bands, but I mean, I will give them props for what they were able to do. And he did get you with that voice and everything else, because he touched your soul.
This one popped up alongside, and I've not seen this one.
Well, the one thing I wanted to say with her is it's one of those things. I was listening to some earlier, and they were talking about comparing her and Taylor Swift. And they're like, honestly, as a grown man, listening to Miley, fine. Taylor Swift, That's a little pervy. But they're like, Taylor Swift is more poppy and whatever, where Miley stepped out and went that whole other way and became actually like a real true, you know, Taylor Swift writes her own stuff. She does whatever. She's more poppy. But she's still, to me anyway, a kid. And that's the type of music I associate to. But you listen to Miley and her new stuff, and I associate that with actual real, like something I would listen to.
Yeah. So let's, this is another Miley collab, and I've never seen it, never heard it. Let's, I'm fucking curious.
That's Billy.
Yeah, that's Billy. She said, call the baby. You fucking love the band.
I love the band. And if it expires, I pray. She's singing perfectly with it.
Yeah. Billy's got fucking abs.
Oh, yeah. He's fucking ripped. Yeah, you pretty much just made me a total Miley Cyrus fan.
And when you... I know you can't see it. One of these days, I will figure out how to... She's in fucking leather pants that say, I love Billy Idol. She's got the 80s... Her fucking neck up, she almost looks like Madonna from the 80s.
Oh, fuck.
She's got this wild hair. She's got these fucking big framed black sunglasses on that say Billy on one eye, Idol on the other. Leather jacket. It's unfucking real. It's, yeah. Can we get the Mop Boy in here?
Mop Boy, why?
Because I think I'm in love with Miley Cyrus.
I guess they did Night Crawling and White Wedding. That was at the Super Bowl.
It's on the CW, obviously, so it's not the Super Bowl. I think it's an iHeart concert.
What?
That was fucking... Was that CeCe? Who the fuck is that guitar player? Is that CeCe from Poison? Or Nikki Sixx? That might have been Nikki Sixx from Motley.
No.
I'll see if I can't pause it on him, and then I'll flip the computer.
Oh, there's the one I found.
Yeah. Yeah, that's... It's too badass.
Okay, I'm gonna have to find it.
This is called Billy Idol, Miley Cyrus, Rebel Yell Live from October 28th, 2020.
See, I found one where it's live at the Super Bowl TikTok tailgate.
Is live at 2016 iHeart Radio Music Festival at T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas. And the first comment says, can we all agree that Billy Idol has aged amazingly?
Oh, holy crap. Now I just saw the picture of it. Wow. Yeah. I want to look that good at like 50, and he's like in his, what, 70?
So we're going to need people to Venmo us money so we can hire a squeegee boy.
Yeah. Because, wow.
So speaking of squeegee boy, I sent you a clip to a movie.
Which I haven't watched yet. Which
And I've only watched part of it. But I'll just share. Let me see if I can find the trailer. Hold on here. Because It'll probably do it way more justice than I can. Like, nothing even pops up when I do it. Okay. This is, we're going to play, I'm going to play the trailer first for you fuckers, and then.
In a world where one man must save one girl, I mean two girls, I mean a bunch of girls, from an evil, evil lord.
The chosen one has come after all these centuries. Right on! If it's a fight he wants, a fight he shall have!
What are you talking about?
Starring Rain Brown.
I'm an actress.
Sean Molnar.
My girlfriend is missing, and I'm probably gonna die.
Mike Marino.
You're not even getting better, you're getting worse!
Saragon Odassi.
Fine, I'll show you my tits, just don't do that anymore.
John Archer Lundgren as Zephyros with Bronson Pinchot.
And Pinchot.
Bronson Pinchot.
Ah, yeah.
You need to fight Zephyros. I need to bring you to him.
You Americans are all the same. You're like an armpit without hair.
You're guaranteed to see titties in this movie.
I will possess them!
Zephyros is whacked, man.
Yeah, slow down, tough guy.
You're an idiot. No, you're an idiot. You're an idiot. No, you're an idiot.
Someone come on!
If you don't see Kung Fu and Titties, there's something seriously wrong with you. Kung Fu and Titties, making the world a better place, one titty at a time.
So the lines you couldn't read there, it's not porn, it's just fun.
Okay. That's what I'm going to tell my wife later when she catches me watching it. If it's not porn, why are your pants down?
So I watched the first like 20, 25 minutes, and it is, it's a lot of boob. That's all it is, just boob. But it's
like any 80s movie.
That's not from the 80s though.
Okay.
It's from like 2016.
Okay. I'm just saying, like every 80s movie, that's one thing I go back and I watch all these 80s movies. I'm like, there's a lot of tits in this, and they really like small boobs in the 80s.
Yeah. So I watched the first like 20 minutes, and then the kids started coming out, and I'm like, oh, I can't watch this now. But it's a picture Velocipaster, the same type of cinematography, into this now.
Oh, this is going to be awesome.
The opening scene is the main character. I think his name's John Titties.
John Titties, that's awesome.
And he gets his ass whooped in a kung fu match, and he's back in the locker room. And his coach is yelling at him, and his girlfriend comes back and just, no, sorry, it wasn't his girlfriend, it was this random girl, comes back and, like, rubs her tits all over him, and he, like, pushes her away and is like, you're not my girlfriend, and then everybody slaps him in the face and is like, what are you doing? You have a girl. And then his girlfriend gets captured into a third-dimensional world that he has to go up and save, and all of a sudden he's fighting a gorilla. But it's just a man in a gorilla costume.
Nice.
Not like the money Jackass paid for the gorilla costume that looked real in Jackass 3. No, like one you or I buy from fucking Spirit.
Nice. So it's going to be amazing. So it's one of those.
Like the dinosaur costume that was a blow-up fan.
I'm definitely going to have to watch this now.
Yeah.
Speaking of Jackass, you said there's a new one coming out?
Mm-hmm.
I'm so fucking excited.
So, I will finish this before next week.
I'll watch it.
And next week will be the first What the Fuck Did I Just Watch?
Yeah.
We will talk about fucking Kung Fu and Titties. It's so good. Bronson Pinchot plays...
I love Bronson Pinchot.
A Native American chief.
Oh, Jesus.
And then he plays... Rastafarian, I think, at one point.
Okay, now I've definitely got to watch it.
It's fucking... The first 20 minutes were amazing. Like, it's fucking phenomenal. So, all right, let's see here. Next Wednesday, right? You got... No, not quite yet.
Not quite
the
yet.
Two weeks.
Yes. So we've got... See, you always get me, and I always forget to freaking, like, remind myself who's there. It's Ricky... Oh, what's Ricky's last name? He just won The Voice. Tacoma Comedy Club voice.
Oh, okay. I saw that from Josh Firestein.
Yeah, so he just won. He's going to be the host, and fuck. See, this is how horrible I am. And I just had to get a new phone because somebody may have dunked their phone in the water. So my phone's all fucked up, and I can't find all my stuff. So I'm not admitting that I dunked my phone in the water. It was really bad.
Jeez.
Yeah, I dropped it in the water. It's Ricky Armani is your host, featuring Rachel Afjay and headlining Jared Berard.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, Ricky just won, you know, the Tacoma Comedy Club voice competition. So I've heard really good things about him. He's one that I hadn't seen yet, but everyone kept telling me I had to get him. So I'm like, okay.
Got him.
And then November is going to be Rusty and Gabriel Rutledge.
There you go.
So.
All right, so that's coming up next week, Kung Fu and Titties.
Yep.
The official review.
So make sure and watch it so you can watch along with us, or we're going to ruin it.
Yeah.
Spoilers, there's boobs.
There's going to be white man Kung Fu and tits.
Yeah. Like, spoilers, movie. There's tits.
There you go, the movie's fucking spoiled.
Chris, don't watch it with the kids.
It actually reminded me of a movie that Chris used to probably have from his collection out of the Lake Sawyer grocery store.
No.
So,
I probably don't want to know what that was.
Yeah. Though. All right, guys. So, hey, with all that being said, remember to be excellent to each other.
Hug the ones you love.
And we will see you next week.
See you later.